Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Jess.
Oh, yeah, I'm Jen. Still Jen. Always Jen.
So, listen, great episode today. It's kind of a monumental episode. Okay, I've got, you know, I'm a little emotional about it, but Tiff is leaving. This is her last day. We're going to talk to Tiff. But before that, Disney Beauty. Have you guys seen all this stuff? There's a lot of stuff for adult ladies.
Women.
I'm too sad to, I was like ready to jump in, but then I got like choked up because Tiff's leaving.
It's just weird. I just can't, I'm so used to her here. I like it.
She's like one of us. Well, she's going to get her own segment. And we're going to talk to her. So after that, our guest, I think this is a winner. We're going out with a big one for you, Tiff. We have Belanda Addis here. She's the head of the Multicultural Beauty Lab at L'Oreal. She's also a color cosmetics expert. She's a chemist as well. We're going to talk about color formulation, her job, all sorts of good stuff. Let's get into it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Jess, did you ever go to Disney World growing up?
Yes, yes.
Did you? And how was it?
I loved it.
You were super into it?
Oh my God, I still have my autograph book from the Character Cafe.
Who was your favorite?
The Chip and Dale, because their bellies were really soft.
Oh my God, that's the cutest answer. Like most people usually say like a princess or like Minnie.
Well, princesses, you have to remember when I went there, it was like the classic stable of princesses, like Sleeping Beauty.
The classics.
Like Aurora, Cinderella. There was not even Beauty and the Beast yet. No Belle. So like, there wasn't really a princess franchise. I was really into like the animals.
That's so funny because the princess franchise is like printing money for Disney with their all their beauty collaborations lately. Yeah. What's the latest one? You brought this to my attention.
Yeah, because I was really genuinely excited about it.
Disney, wait, really? Okay, go on.
Yeah, Disney has a fragrance right now. It's collaborating with the indie beauty brand Define Me. And it's a range of fragrances inspired by the princesses. And the first one they're doing is Ariel. And you've got to see the packaging. I just have like an image of it. It's like her tail. Like it's a cylindrical bottle, but it's this beautiful aqua, like a jade aqua, and then the top is a seashell, and it's like aquatic notes.
I was just thinking, thank
please
God.
Please send me a sample, thanks.
I was thinking, thank God they had those princesses, because I don't know how the Chip and Dale chipmunk belly fragrance would work.
Oh, they can make snacks.
So I've seen so many of these. Another one that came out this year, I mean, they every year there's a couple Disney collaborations, but this one was the Dose of Colors did a Minnie Mouse. Which Minnie's big too lately. Yeah. I saw Sarah Jessica Parker like at some Minnie art exhibit this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was one on the West Side. Yeah, Mickey. Yeah.
So I was talking to a buyer at Ulta, and I was like, "What's the deal with Disney?"
Yeah, yeah.
And she had a really good point, which was, she doesn't think it's quite that it's a trend, because I was like, why is Disney trendy? She's like, it's not Disney. She's like, it's nostalgia. She's like, times are tough. People want to remember the innocence of childhood. Mm-hmm. They love throwing back. She said scrunchies are selling really well. People are selling caboodles. And Disney reminds everybody of when they were like young and like carefree, kind of.
Totally. Yeah.
I think it's true. But I also think, I'm sorry, I'm just putting it out there, I think it's a little weird when adult women get obsessed with Disney.
I mean, I'm not like a crazy Disney person. Like,
but there are people that will go to.
No, yeah, that's a little. Yeah, I know. Sorry, keep going.
No, but like Bippity Boppity Boo salons where like little kids can get like a character makeover.
That's fabulous.
Last year, they launched adult versions of that at four of the salons at Disney World where you can go in and have like a custom character makeover. Like if you wanted to look like, oh, you'd be Ariel because you're a redhead.
Yeah, but I don't want to look
and
like a
mermaid.
And you
could brush your hair with a fork. It would be so cute.
There is something, I don't know, I really relate to the nostalgia thing. I really do.
It made sense when she said that. Oh, wait, let me call out her name, by the way, because she is also a Fat Mascara listener. Her name's Ashley Harp. Hey, Ashley. She's based in Chicago, and she's an Ulta buyer.
Yeah, the nostalgia thing is big. I mean, you're saying times are tough. Yeah, they're definitely tough. But I wonder if when kids, like who are kids now, when they grow up, like, are they going to be jonesing for, like, I don't know, Avengers or whatever? What are kids
emojis.
Like,
emojis are so big.
Yeah. I think of Disney as, like, kind of just a classic. I know what she's saying, the nostalgia, but it's like Disney's just, it's never going to go out of style. It's a classic icon.
That's why they keep remaking all the same movies over and over again, right?
Did you see the new Lion King?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah,
I'm going to have the real Lion King in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I'm going on my honeymoon to a safari in Africa. By the way, we're going to have a week off at the very end of the summer. We'll let you know before it happens, but that's because I'm going on honeymoon.
All right, well, at that point, I might be seeing Lion King in the theater. Probably just as good, right?
Yeah, and you'll spray your Ariel perfume, your Disney perfume, and think of me.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about all this Disney stuff.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah.
I want to smell that perfume, too.
I find goodbyes very awkward, very strange, but I figured
I'm hiding in my shirt right now. It's like up around my
nose. I find them uncomfortable and strange and sad. But I have to say, I'm so happy that intern Tiff has been really like the third musketeer in our trio. We were a duo, but I feel like you really like are the third musketeer, and you brought so much to this show in terms of research and contributions and just like a fresh pair of eyes, like. You're a little bit younger than I am, just like a little bit, but like, like we could totally like have become friends at school.
I meet fans all the time. They're like, put intern Tiff back on because they love that segment you did on like young millennials and you quizzed me on like what millennials are into. And they loved it. They said that was great.
So she's just great.
So we wanted to bring you back on.
Can we tell people to follow you or is that creepy?
Yeah what's your handle?
At Tiffany Karishma. That's my middle name, FYI. So that's Tiffany, Karishma on IG.
And truly, you're in FIT right now. Like, let's just like let people know where you are. And when do you graduate?
2 years. Okay. So I'm pretty like deep into it, but I still got some time left.
Okay.
Honestly, we're going to be working for her in 10 years is what we both say.
So
we wanted to bring you on to do your own segment, final segment. And an internship is nothing if not a learning experience, correct?
It really was.
So you've been here a year. We met you at a listener party. We wanted to hear, and we're ready for it, whether there's criticisms or whatever. We want to know everything you learned. Tell us what you learned during this internship.
Okay. If we did everything, I'd be here for like an hour, guys. And we never get to the guest, which can't wait. She's awesome. But you have to wait for that.
Take control, Tip. Set the agenda.
No, first of all, this isn't goodbye forever. I'm putting that down here. I'll be back.
Yeah,
I'll be back whenever
it.
You need me back. So honestly, Jess and Jen both know how I feel already, but I'll tell you guys as the listeners, this was like an incredible experience, none like any other. I'll share with you a little bit of what I learned, but first of all, give it up. Give them some credit. Like, give it up for Jess and Jen.
Oh, my God. We did not tell her to do this.
Being on the mic isn't easy, and I sound so fluent now, and props to them for all the practice I've gotten. But as Jen mentioned just now, our first episode, our first segment together, that was episode 152, the Patrick Ta one. If you haven't checked it out, do so now. I was so nervous, and they were so comforting about it. They were like, you're going to be fine. You know, it's just, it really is just like having a conversation. And that's the other thing. Some people have asked me as the intern here, or like just in general, like how do the conversations go? Like, is it a cut and paste type of thing? Mm. It really is like a fluid conversation. They're not cutting anything out. It's completely unfiltered.
We're unscripted.
Yeah. It's incredible. Just like the way you hear them in your head, whether you're on a train in the car, picture yourself in a small booth with like three microphones.
Remember that one doctor who thought I was so tiny in here and was like having claustrophobia?
Dr. Analik.
I felt so bad, guys. It's pretty comfortable.
Small.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exactly that. Just picture yourself here with us. Well, just with Jess and Jen, I guess. But yeah.
What else
so
did
give
you
it up
learn?
To them.
Any beauty tips you're going to take away or beauty industry knowledge?
The biggest tip I can give, I think, everyone out there, and I'm taking for myself too, and this may seem like a duh intern tip, like that's totally no, but
duh intern tip, I love it.
Always do your research. And you guys may not realize the amount of work and time and effort that Jen and Jess put into the topics that they bring to the table here.
Again, we did not tell her.
They're always, they have so many different papers battling it out with what they want to get in, what they want. But other than that, always do your research. And especially when it comes to skincare, like I know, especially with people in my generation, I'm in the Instagram era where they believe everything anyone says, or they think that they can adapt everything in someone's skincare routine to themselves. And that's not true. And a lot of that false information is out there. So just a reminder to always do your own research and know that the research that you're getting from Fat Mascara is completely, thoroughly well-researched. And I'm sure you know that already. I mean, they're journalists by day, podcasters by night. So why not?
Oh, go on, Tim.
But yeah, and okay, so just like a little bit
like
of
like,
how
BTS. Did we inspire you?
She's kidding.
Oh, so much in every way. Literally, if you took Jen and Jess's complete personalities, a little bit of each, combine them both, and that's the woman I want to be.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Do we have to cut this? Because it looks like it's like
an elegant.
We paid her.
sway like Jess, but want to be a badass bitch like Jen. Ooh, I want to mute that out.
Oh my God,
no,
we're not
it.
Muting it.
I
it's
love
perfect.
It.
Any other last tips for our readers or things you learned? Readers, sorry, listeners that you want to share?
You know, just keep listening. And I highly recommend, not because I've been the one doing it, but the blog has such resourceful information.
We appreciate it.
Especially with me here listening, you know, I'll be in the interviews, but then I'll go home and I'll do the additional research to put together the blog for the website. And like, I learn so much more that way. Mm-hmm. So I know you don't have the time always, but when you do, you know, click on, you'll learn something, read some of the articles.
She
really
put up stuff
insightful.
About telemedicine after the episode about finding yeah, a skin yeah. check from the derm. We really, we appreciate you. I
Thank
can't
you.
Even list all of
there's
the ways.
No, there's no way
no,
we could
I'm
do
so
this
sad,
without
you.
You
guys, you have no idea.
Can I just add something? I think Tiff was awesome that she was bold. Like, you know, we were at that St. Ives thing together mm-hmm. and, you know, it was like not by chance that you got there, but like, you know, we like kind of picked names out of a hat. And then you got there and you introduced yourself and you were like, hey, like, you know, I'm Tiff. Like, I think there's real power in being not like pushy, but being bold and just being like, this is what I want to do. And chances are that, you know, there's a chance that someone will listen to you. So I love that you stuck yourself out there. And
Thank
that really impressed
you.
Me.
Aww.
Yeah. We love you. We'll miss you. You're welcome back anytime. That's for sure.
Anytime.
This is not goodbye.
Not goodbye. Just goodbye for now. Thank you for everything, Tiff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tiff.
Aww.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, we're here with Belinda Addis, a chemist with a master's degree in cosmetic science, who got her start working in a mascara lab, which we'll find out about. She's now the head of L'Oreal's Multicultural Beauty Lab and their face lab. So you work on face color, cosmetics, and all sorts of products. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you for having me.
We want to get our listeners to know you a little bit better before they hear about all like the cool, like worky stuff you do, like all like the, you know, your resume. Let's just get to know you.
Okay.
All right? What is the most embarrassing song on your playlist?
Embarrassing song on my playlist. Mm-hmm. So let's start off by saying I'm embarrassed that I don't have a playlist.
you went good out.
I really don't.
Okay. All right. You don't. Do you have a most like embarrassing favorite song? Something that like really gets you going?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So the song came about when I used to, well, not when I used to, because I still travel to Paris, but you know, the time difference, they're 6 hours ahead. So basically when you're waking up is actually the time you're falling asleep mm-hmm. in the U.S.
Horrible.
So getting up in the morning and go to work is super, super hard. So we had a song, it was called our motivation song in the car. It is by Bare Naked Ladies called If I Had $1 Million.
Oh, I like that song. It's good.
It's a great song. It was our motivation. It was like, okay, if I only had $1 million.
That's really cute. So we need to dig a little bit deeper. Okay, I don't have a playlist. Okay. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Favorite ice cream flavor? I am a soft serve. So vanilla, soft serve.
What's your topping?
Sprinkles, rainbow sprinkles.
Rainbow, thank you, thank
you. And a sugar cone mm-hmm. and drop it into a cup so I can crumble up the sugar cones and kind of make it a sundae.
This is very chemist of her. That's a chemist's answer right there.
Okay, what's the job you thought you were going to have when you were a little kid?
Little kid? I can't say when I was a little kid. Actually, I'll take it back. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be like my mom who did hair. So I wanted to be a hairstylist because my mother was a cosmetologist. So she went to beauty school. So that's what I wanted to do. But then as I got older, I became a little bit more tomboyish and then decided that I wanted to do forensic pathology.
Okay.
And now she makes makeup.
And now I make makeup. Like,
that was a left turn.
Okay. It was. It was before CSI. So I really feel good about that.
Favorite movie?
The Fugitive.
Oh, good one.
I love that movie.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I think I can
movie.
Recite word for word. It's sad.
And the forensics thing comes in there too, right?
Yeah. That was a good movie for investigative work.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
They don't.
They really don't. Okay. And what's your happy place?
My happy place, I have to say, are with my kids. As much as they drive me crazy, it's with my kids.
You have two, right?
I have two. I have a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old. My 13-year-old is adopted. So growing up, I was told I had to grow up and have a child. So when I found that out, I adopted, not realizing that's not what they meant. They meant like I should have a child.
Families get made in all sorts of ways.
Exactly. So, but then eventually I had my 3-year-old, which was not planned, but super happy to have her. But it's really my happy place.
That's
as much as they
answer.
Drive me crazy, I love the love they give. Mm. It's really unconditional love. So. It's great.
That's really nice.
All right, now let's make it less lovey.
Yeah. Let's get to business. So you have a big job. What exactly is it that you do, and how did you get into it?
So what I do exactly?
Head of the Multicultural Lab and Face Lab.
I have a great job. I have to say, if I had to pick and choose what I want to do, I can't see myself doing anything else. I get a chance to really touch a lot of different people in different aspects, whether it's creating a formula or working with the chemists with their expertise to create products, or with our support teams to create products. It's great all around. So I have a wonderful time exploring and understanding our consumers, understanding what they want, what they don't want. And from there, we learn what we have to create. And the creation portion is really the fun part. You really get into, you can say, the nitty gritty of things. You get to understand the details, the not so many details. Mm-hmm. Creating formulations is like a recipe. You can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but at the end, it has to come together to make something really fantastic. So the way we see is that, you know, we're chefs in our own right, because we're really trying to find that synergistic effect, that what makes one plus one, you know, really equal to in the great way. So it's fun.
You work on a lot of L'Oreal brands. That's L'Oreal Corporation. So can you just name some of the companies and brands people might know that you've made products for?
Yeah, that's the great part at L'Oreal. We're able to touch so many different brands and give our expertise to so many different areas in different ways. So we have Lancome, we have L'Oreal Paris, we have Maybelline, we have Urban Decay, we have Dermablend, NYX.
Like I said,
it goes on.
There's something in your makeup bag Belinda worked on.
I know that some of our listeners might be, you know, they heard us say like multicultural beauty lab and they think, I've never heard of that. Or like, what does that actually mean versus just, you know, somebody who's working on color products at Brand X? Like what is special about the multicultural beauty lab?
Yeah, so historically, the consumers that we've all been focusing on was the primary consumer that we saw in the populations, which were people of fair skin tone, primarily Caucasians or Europeans. Now that we're growing into really a more diverse world, a more diverse culture, we see that we have different skin tones and different ethnicities that are becoming more mainstream. And because of that, we saw the need to have more specific research to understand what they want and what they need. So multicultural beauty simply means understanding really consumers of all different backgrounds and understanding how we as a corporation can provide products for them.
I heard that part of your job, because every time I've tried to interview you or get you to come on this podcast, is travel. I swear, the people that I was arranging this with, it was like, nope, she's in, you know, Ghana that week, then Paris this week, then Jamaica this week. And those countries might be wrong. But why do you travel so much for your job? They tell me you're taking pictures of women. What are you doing? Belinda?
it's part of understanding our consumers. Again, L'Oreal is a global company. We have consumers in really every part of the world. So we really want to understand their needs. And so the traveling is to understand their skin, mm-hmm. understanding the colors that make up their skin, understanding what they want in a product, understanding what we can deliver to them. So it's building that knowledge so that when we go back into the laboratory, our scientists and our chemists can be able to create products specific to them and to that region.
So are you going out and like in a country and just talking to regular women like us and saying, what do you like? What don't you like? Or are you doing science work and like getting out labs and beakers and cameras and stuff?
Both.
Oh, okay. So
interestingly enough, both. You know, we have a portion where we're listening to them and we get fabulous, fabulous types of information from them. But the one thing about people and people around the world, when they want something, they know what they want and they're ready to share it with you. Mm-hmm. So we get really passionate people who say, look, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. I make sure you have 1, 2, 3.
What's something that everybody seems to want these days?
Everyone wants to look like themselves, but better.
Mm-hmm. So no one wants to change. So where does foundation fit in then?
Foundation is exactly that. Foundation is just enhancing your natural beauty. I always say that everyone is beautiful in their own right. There's no one person who is really better than the other, internal or external. It's really your inner beauty that makes you more beautiful externally. So everyone just wants to see themselves and to see themselves, but maybe with a little bit of enhancement.
So when I think about more about foundation, I'm sure when you're out on the street and talking to everyone, they may have ideas about what kind of foundations they need or what's missing from the market. Why is it so hard to find a foundation that's a perfect match?
Well, think about it in this way. We're all unique. And we're always going to have challenges in finding what's perfect for us. I like to say your skin tone. And when we start to measure skin tone, we can start to say your skin tone numbers and the colors that make up your skin are very unique to yourself.
How do you measure skin tone? Sorry to interrupt, but I was like, make sure you tell us that part too. That sounds exciting.
So measuring skin tone can be done in different ways. Basically, the idea is to capture the image of your skin. And instead of taking, say, a picture, it translates to numbers. So those numbers actually break down to give you the exact composition of the colors in your skin. So if I were to capture your skin today, I would be able to see how red you are, how yellow, how white, even if there is some black in your skin, red, yellow, green. So we get to see a lot of different aspects. And from that information, we calculate what is your perfect shade.
Mm-hmm. And back to Jess's question, why can't I find one that matches perfectly all the time?
Because the uniqueness of your skin. So what we really try to do.
Sorry, is it like you couldn't find like everyone, like she'd be unique, I'd be unique. Like there's so many kinds. There's as many foundations that there are people, like that kind of thing?
It could potentially be. But what we do is that we group them together. We create buckets for skin tones. So if you can see, there's, say, 40 shades. Within those 40 shades, what we do is we try to find the most populated areas and create shades based on that area. Mm-hmm. So although you're very unique in your, say, specific color, we can create something that will match you. And then if you were similar in skin tone, match you as well.
Okay. So, you know, what's been interesting, like as an editor, you know, both Jen and I have noticed, you know, L'Oreal, and I'm not just saying this to be nice because you're here, but like L'Oreal has been doing, you know, really, you know, a wide spectrum of shades for a long time. I remember like True Match when I believe Beyonce was the face. Yes. Like this was like a long time ago. I mean, this was not a new concept to L'Oreal. And now, you know, when Jen and I get new foundation launches, they're like, you know, we have 40, we have 41, we have 45, you know, like, and then someone comes out with 12 and they're absolutely torn apart on social media. Maybe they're a small brand, maybe they are a brand that doesn't care, who knows. What is your, like, takeaway on this? Because I find it fascinating.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was saying before. Shades can be infinite. If we look at, we actually have a brand, Lancôme, who has a wonderful device. It's called Le Teint Particulier, where you can actually go in and have a customized shade for you. And it's really for those women who aren't able to, say, go to a mass store or to go to even a luxe counter to identify their shade. So you go there. They do the same type of scanning and measurement that I was saying before, and it doses specifically your shade. So you have your exact shade.
That's cool.
So you can either go that route or try to go to a mass and kind of work in, say, I'll say our system where we kind of, like I say, bucket those shades for you. So it makes it a little bit easier. In terms of the diversity or the range of shades today, you're right. It can go anywhere from, I've seen 6 go up to 100. I mean, there's...
Who has 100 foundation shades? Brands around the world.
Shades, yes, I've seen.
Do you think that there's like, you know, we're still not at, we still haven't solved it yet and there's still more buckets to be had? Or do you feel like we're good? Like, what's your take?
I think we're at a very good place. And, you know, understanding how we provide our products to our consumers, how we sell our products, it's not so easy to say I can just put 100 shades in front of someone and make it easy for that consumer to find. Because there's also that aspect as well. One of the biggest pain points for women is not only having a shade that matches them, but trying to find it.
Yeah.
So when you get in front of a range and you see 60, 70, 80 shades, it's super challenging for a person who doesn't understand how to pick a foundation. Even I, as an expert, sometimes I sit and I look there. I have to stare at it for a minute to understand, okay, the difference between this one and this one and that one. The nuances can be so small. Remember, we were talking about how the differences of skin tone is just by number value. You can imagine when we start to create ranges, we are also dealing in that very small aspect, that small, those small different buckets. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. So it's either you try to make it as simple as possible. Some brands, you know, they go really small, or you make it as complicated and kind of lose the consumer.
And then just from, you know, because since you're working like within, you're not a makeup artist, you're like working within a huge corporation. Where does stuff like shelf space come into mind? Is it like, ooh, we got to pump the brakes because we're at 40? Like,
What's the practicality?
Yeah, that, and that's the whole thing. That's why it's impossible for us to put out 100, 200 shades or, mm-hmm. you know, to be like a Le Teint Particulier where you can have customized shades up to 5,000 different matches. It's impossible. So because we have these restrictions and these constraints, we have to figure out what is ideal. You know, if we're putting out 40, we have to make sure it's the best possible 40. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure that we understand, again, the consumer, the colors of her skin, and to make sure we marry it with the colorants that we use.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at these 40 shades, and I'm just a consumer here, why is it, as an expert, tell me, that in the bottle, even if it's a perfectly clear bottle, I'll be like, that really looks like my skin tone. At this point, I kind of know to go to like the yellowy olive, a little like light. And then you put it and you do a swatch on your cheek. Tell me if that's the wrong place to do it, mm-hmm. along my jawline. And
it's the right place.
Oh, okay, good. So we got that right. And it looks nothing like it does in the bottle. What happens with chemistry between looking at it in the bottle and putting it on your face?
So let me see if I can find an analogy. But basically what's happening is that you have to allow for your solvents to dry, to flash off. Because really what gives you the color is a powder. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to put your powder in a medium. So think of salt and water. You kind of put salt in water, it dissolves. You don't see it. Mm-hmm. So you have to wait. If you want to see that salt come back, you have to let it flash dry, off, dry, uh-huh. and then you have the crystals form over again. So it's kind mm-hmm. of the same way of a foundation. You have to wait for those solvents or the fluids to dry, and then you see the color. So it's a transition.
And does that, and can it change? So if I see I'm seeing the pigment through the lens of these solvents, and that's why it might look different in the
yes.
bottle. So really, you can't judge unless you let it dry on your face.
That is true.
But how quick, that happens fairly quickly, right?
For the formulations that I'm accustomed with, I can't speak for anything
sure.
outside, but we like to say about 5 minutes or so.
Oh, wow. So you have to wait a little bit to see if it's going to
match. When we're doing real evaluations, we like to wait like 5 minutes. But as a consumer, the consumer doesn't have that time. So if you don't put a layer that's too thick,
yeah.
then you're possibly able to get away with, you know, less time than that.
And
you can, as you start to develop and understand foundation and you apply more, you'll understand what a dry time is for you.
And I hear a lot of women talk about this now that there's so many colors out there, which is such great news for a lot of women. They talk a lot about oxidation. And I hear this all the time online as a comment. And I was like, is that really what's happening? They say, oh, this color oxidized or it turned orange. Is that really what's going on? You know, she's shaking her head. What is
that? It's an interesting term. I don't know where that term came about.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's an old term that's been used, but I'm not quite sure what it means. But it's really the evaporation.
It's a thing that you explained.
Exactly.
So it's not free radicals forming the turn orange or whatever.
No.
All right, people hear that?
Melinda will tell you.
It's actually not that
dramatic.
It's
really just the evaporation and then allowing
you explained
for
it, well.
It to dry. But also keep in mind, formulations are very specific. So you have to have the correct colorants to make sure you don't have this huge shift of shade, because color is natural. Color can continue to develop. It's naturally derived, right? So what a lot of our formulations have are pigments that are specially designed so it doesn't transition. So when you put it on, the color you have from the point of your application, once it dries, mm-hmm. stays the same until the end of your mm-hmm. wear. So if you ever see, you put it on, it dries in like 1 hour, it looks one way. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. it looks like something different. Maybe the formulation hasn't been designed in a way to make sure those pigments stay true. But it really is based on the formulation and the type of pigments you use. It's very important.
Belinda's like, if that happens, it wasn't one that I designed.
We have an amazing team of scientists around the world and amazing formulators that know exactly how to create the best products.
Okay, so moving on from foundation, because obviously you've worked on other products too. What's up with color payoff? So Jess and I often talk about we used to have these little, these huge kits with all these eyeshadows when we were little under the Christmas tree. And like you'd wipe your finger in it and it'd be like, where's the color? Like they looked really pretty in the pan, but then
yeah.
no color. What's going on with that?
Hard as a rock.
It goes back to the formulation. It's all about putting in those right ingredients to make sure that the color, the payoff is there. And also the processing. Processing is very important for powder products. If you press it too hard, you get a hard cake. There's no pickup.
If you not enough product got on my finger.
Exactly.
Oh.
So it's like you're pressing it super hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't press it too hard, you can have amazing pickup, but then it breaks.
Oh, we know that. I have some colors that have happened to
me. Or you drop it and it breaks.
I quite prefer that, though. I'd just be careful. You know, I well, want it to be soft like butter.
And a lot of the formulations that you see today have started to take some of the learnings over the years and have created products that are much easier in terms of pickup, so you have much better payoff.
Okay, okay.
Let's talk about mascara. Shall we?
Mascara is my baby.
Yeah, you started your career making mascaras, right?
I started my career making mascaras.
Also, if you Google her, there's like 8 patents for like mascara technologies with Belinda Addison's name. Am I right?
I love mascara. Yeah,
why is it so hard?
Why is it so hard to make a great mascara? And why does mine still smudge? Please fix. Thank you.
Well, why is it so hard to make a great mascara? Again, it's just understanding the right balances in the formulation. Also understanding your lash type, because your lash type is hair. Your hair, your lashes are hair. So think of the hair on your head. We all don't have the same lash type. If you look at Asian lashes versus Caucasian lashes, Asian lashes point down. They're typically sparse and short. So they kind of spread apart and they're really short. So their need for mascara types are very different than, say, a Western person who has, say, these long lashes, and they may not be super full, but they have a curl to it. Mm-hmm. So you may not need a super curly mascara, which you would find in Asia, but you would need maybe a more volumizing. So it's understanding mm-hmm. the type of mascara you need for your lash type.
Mm-hmm. Do you think most mascaras crumble? Like, it's not like people... Oh, okay. We're done. You answer my question. I just figured, you know what? Like, people say, I didn't like this one. It smudged. It crumbled. I'm like, well, you wore it for like 16 hours and you're like tearing and you're... You know,
but not
it's
all
just
of
like
them
wear and
do.
Tear.
Not all
what
of them.
What mascaras do you like? You have so many to choose from at L'Oreal.
I do. So what I'm wearing today, I'm wearing Last Sensational. So I prefer a comb application versus a bristle application. I find that with my lash type, this is again understanding what your lash type is, I get a better deposit of mascara. I can spread them out so I have a nice fan effect and it gives me volume. I am the typical fake lash girl, so I like a very dramatic look mm-hmm. on my eye. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking for what I can build, and that it gives me a very dramatic effect.
Well, that's good to know. That gives you the big thing.
Yeah, and this is how you have to play. So for years, there was just the one option of a bristle brush. Today, we have combs. And again, with the combs, you're able to deposit more in the reservoirs of the brush. Mm-hmm. And then you get more on your lash. Mm.
Do you work with people to design the comb to fit the formula?
Yes. So in mascara, we like to say it's like a 50-50 relationship. It's like the mascara itself, the formula is 50%, and then the brush is 50% or
that
the applicator.
That big of an importance. That's a lot.
It is. You can have a phenomenal formula and a horrible brush, and then vice versa. So you have to have the right mix, the right combination that give you the optimal effect.
Okay. So can we talk about regular color cosmetics, not skin tone matching color cosmetics? What's the hardest color for you to make in a lab? Like red, blue, green, purple, whatever. Like, are any of them very difficult?
Let me think. You know, my expertise is really mascara and face.
Okay.
So in terms of lip, I couldn't give you a fair. I wouldn't be able to give you a fair evaluation.
Well, then even in foundation, are certain colors more difficult? Like if someone has like a yellow base, yellows are really hard because whatever reason.
I mean, if there's no answer, there's no answer.
No, I think for face is a little bit, there are challenges. Definitively, there are challenges, but understanding the colors of the skin makes it a lot easier. In the past, we didn't have that option. We didn't have that knowledge. So we were, I don't want to say winging it, but it was a little bit more difficult for us to understand what shades to create. But now that we have the consumer piece, we understand the consumer, it makes it a lot easier for us to create. But there's still challenges.
I heard you discover something called ultramarine blue to like help make dark skin tone foundations look more natural.
Yeah, I can't take credit for creating it.
Right.
It was a pigment that had been around for years. And if you know a bit about hair, the way to achieve, say, the deepest black is by adding blue. So if you take the same concept into, say, skin, how do you achieve more natural, vibrant skin tone, skin reflective shades without making it black and dirty? And that's by adding blue. So ultramarine blue allowed us to go deeper in tone, but keep a very natural appearance
on
the skin.
So it doesn't have like an ashy blackness.
Doesn't have an ashy black.
It has like a rich, inky kind of.
It has a, it's, I don't want to say it looks, feels like butter, but it just, it kind of just, it's a richness and a depth that kind of melts into the skin. It almost looks like it's not there. The pigment itself is not very opaque or pacifying, so it's pretty sheer, but it gives you the color. So it doesn't mask the skin. It just gives you a vibrancy to the skin.
And is that in every shade of, like, say, a L'Oreal True Match foundation, or just certain shades?
Certain shades. And this comes from the knowledge of understanding skin. I'll even go as far as saying, it doesn't mean specifically only deeper tones have ultramarine blue. If you look at different skin tones, you can have, say, a blue undertone and super fair skin. We're also understanding more so how to create better olive skin tones. So it's really just understanding how to use the different colorants based on the different groups that we're creating shades for.
This is so much more complicated than I ever thought. What do you want to make for yourself? Like, if you had a dream product, have you ever made a product for just for yourself? Like, you know, I really want a purple eyeshadow, or I want a mascara with this kind of brush, but it's never going to sell, but I want it.
And are you allowed to tell us about it?
Probably not.
Didn't think so.
If we went in your makeup kit at home, would there be things that you just, like, whipped up myself a little sheer foundation?
So I will tell you, in my previous years of L'Oreal, when I got to really play on the bench, I would create products. I would create products because I'm like, I think I need this. So I would create a formula. I'd add different things to it, take it home, love it, go back and make it again, and just keep using it. So, yes, I have. I've created things specifically for
me. I want Belinda's special product that never made it to the market. Can I tell you first what type of product it was?
It was for my lashes. To be honest with you, we did end up launching something very similar to it in Asia.
Cool.
And it was a big success. So I'll tell you what it is because it launched. Mm-hmm. It was actually one of my first patents on identifying the use of fibers to extend the lashes and to give you volume. And as I was telling you before, I like the big volume.
Wait,
fake
lash
you
invented
effect.
Fiber mascara?
One of the original formulas that we had for L'Oreal, one of the first formulas was from our lab. And yes, that was one of the patents that I worked on.
That's so cool.
So it was super fun because, okay, I got to play with, like, the different fibers, and I was identifying which fibers work. They were, like, different colors and different, you know, lengths and different sizes. So I got to play with, like, really dramatically long lashes or fibers to give me dramatic lashes, and then really short ones. So the days I got to play with, like, the really long ones, those are the ones that stayed in my pocket.
Oh, you got the extra long special?
Yes.
Super-sized lashes?
Yeah.
So, okay, we know that you're a mascara queen, but what else is kicking around in your, you know, little bag at home? Your caboodle?
Do you have a caboodle?
I don't have a caboodle, but okay. I have a little makeup bag. Face powder. Face powder is, like, my next big project.
What are some of your favorites?
Focus on. To be honest with you, I don't have one.
You want to make the perfect one.
My ambition is to make the best face powder.
Okay. And what's wrong with the current face powders?
So specifically for my skin tone, the challenge is having something that doesn't give you an ashy effect. And inherently, powders are ashy. It's a powder. It's a filler. So they impart some type of opaqueness and whiteness to the skin. So I'm looking to have the most transparent powder that mattifies my skin. I call myself a grease monkey. So in the lab, if they want to try something on that's really mattifying, they're like, okay, let's bring it to Belinda. Actually, I just got a text saying, okay, did you evaluate that product? Because I need your feedback so I can make sure I can submit it or not. Because if it works on you,
it'll work on anyone. That's funny.
I'm really a grease monkey. So, we get to evaluate and to play. But really, the goal is to have something that's matte, that doesn't impart any color, and looks natural.
Yeah, because I always look at translucent powder and I'm like, but it looks white. How does that work on everyone?
Translucent is not translucent for
right?
me.
It's not,
translucent
right?
is ghost for me.
You can ghost? See, if someone put translucent powder on you, we'd see it.
Most of them, yes.
Lies. You're going to make the next best powder, I'm sure of it.
That's
is there
goal.
Anything else that you're obsessed with? You're into mascara. We want that great powder.
What's on your lips
Yay,
right
beautiful
now?
Beautiful lip color.
Today I am wearing Maybelline Matte Vivid. And I don't typically wear
color.
It's not
too mad. I was just going to say, did you top it with something?
No. That's probably my natural
That's
oil
just
spray.
Your natural shine. You see, this is when it benefits you.
But it stays on. Like, this has been on for a few hours now, and I haven't touched it up. So
Wait, is this the one with the wand, very vivid. Like that wand? Like,
it's a wand.
It's like an opaque
tube.
It's
transparent, and the top is black.
Okay.
It says
okay.
Maybelline Matte Vivid Ink, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's one of my new toys for this summer. But I really don't ever do color. I'm the most blah person when it comes to a lip
skin
color.
Skin and then a lip color. And let's talk hair before we let you go. Who did these braids? Gorgeous.
Oh, so I have my cousin owns a hair salon. And this is called my summer protective hair. So I have my hair corn rolled into these really long strands.
Shout her out. Who's your cousin? We want to give her some love.
Crazy enough, her name is Belanda Till.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I told her mother was not creative. I was born first and then gay. She.
Is that your mom's sister?
My mom's sister had a daughter.
Can you imagine?
And
oh
my, she named really her funny. Belanda. So growing up, I was like, why do you have my
name? Is it a family name?
Like, no. No, it came from a Spanish soap opera, apparently, from my mother
that's
told
funny.
Me.
So Belanda the hair stylist and Belanda the color chemist.
Yes, and her salon is called Hair For You in Irvington, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it looks
gorgeous.
All right, Jersey, hear that? Keeping it in the family.
Well, yes. You look great. We can't
Thank
see what
you.
Else you're going to roll out. And I'm excited about these powders to come, and I'm going to go keep trying some more mascaras, I think.
Yeah, you should.
Okay. Thanks, Belanda.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having me.
So it's time to raise a wand, but it's recently come to my attention and our attention that some people don't get the reference of raise a wand.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. So it's a mascara wand. I don't know if that's coming across, but when we first started the podcast, we were like, we wanted to shout out products that we love, and we're just trying to come up with something cutesy. So picture us taking a big old mascara wand, raising it up in the air and be like, woohoo, cheers to this product.
But somebody thought it was like a Harry Potter wand.
Got a lot of Harry Potter references
cute.
Over the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but it's just that it's incorrect.
Or like Tinkerbell or Magic, yeah. I've heard from other people. It's a mascara wand,
aww.
Y'all. Okay, so the laryngitis is still sticking around in the daytime. I have the cough, but I have lost the cough at night, which was the most annoying point.
Oh, yeah.
And do you want to know why?
Why?
The Dyson humidifier.
Oh, Dyson.
I have read so many studies over the years about how having a humidifier,
yeah.
A, makes you look younger, makes your skin look more moisturized, blah, blah, blah. I also think if you live in the city and you don't have central air conditioning, central
yeah.
heat, it's so drying your heater, your like window air conditioner.
Oh, God, in the winter? Oh, my God, yeah.
But even in the summer, I've noticed,
really?
Too. Like, picture an air conditioner pulls out that water to, you know, to cool
yeah.
it. So the Dyson humidifier, here's why I like it. Silent. Just like barely a white noise that you can hear.
Mm.
And the mist is so fine that it doesn't get your floor wet. I don't know if you've had other...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I've had other humidifiers where like there's like a puddle in front of them
yeah.
at the end of the night.
It can destroy hardwood floors.
And it's got a little remote control, which I kind of love.
Oh,
so I can
cool.
be like in bed, not coughing, and hit it on. But I actually been using it pretty much every night, even in the middle of summer. And I really think it's the one thing that's like keeping my cough from, you know... being worse at night. Also, does my skin look more moisturized?
It looks nice. Your skin looks good.
It's a good tip. Honestly, get a humidifier if your skin's dry.
I wanted to do with my humidifier and I never got around to last winter. Throwing a couple drops of like eucalyptus oil in there.
Oh, but you can't do that with the Dyson because
you
know what?
Why?
Before water goes on, this is the other good thing. It has some treatment with like sonic or UV, I don't remember what it is, that makes there no bacteria. Because you know how they can get moldy?
Yeah.
So it treats the water
yeah.
so that it won't grow molds and
yeah.
stuff like that, and then it sprays it all at you, so it's
okay.
not like allergens. So I would, if with this one, I would be scared to put a.
Also, Dyson's so expensive that
like,
I probably wouldn't
don't mess with
it.
That.
Yeah,
don't mess with that.
Yeah, they're not going to take
every
it back.
Freaking penny. Yeah.
Okay, so mine is for an Instagram account, so it's free, and it will make you laugh so hard. At least it makes me laugh so hard. It's called Says My Derm. You follow this, right?
Of course I do.
Oh, my God. If fans of this show will, I know, appreciate it. Like, I'm not going to bore you and make something funny unfunny by trying to describe a meme. Just go on it. Basically, it's run by a board-certified derm and mimologist. Oh, I was like, what's a mimologist? Oh, they make memes.
Mimologist.
I was like, shit, I don't know what that is.
I actually have some insider knowledge. Continue, and
okay,
then I'll share.
Okay. And... it's basically satirizing what it's like to be a derm and satirizing like the kind of patients they see. Like there's like Susans and Karens and like basically like really annoying patients that you know that they fucking hate when they come in.
And they're like, I'm just going to use coconut oil. Yeah. Because my friend said to use coconut oil.
Or like, would you mind, just really quick, can you take a look at this and like at like a cocktail party? And like, it's
and
like
4 hours later with like a full body
It's like a genital wart. You know what I mean? Like it's just so funny, and I don't know, it just makes me like
it's
it
a
makes
good
me giggle.
Follow. Yeah. I raise one to it too. I got insider knowledge, someone who's in the derm community, because they were all trying to figure out who it is the way we want to know who Estee Lauder is.
Right.
They are pretty sure it's more than one doctor. They think it might be a group of young female dermatologists that are still in their residency.
Oh, interesting.
Because also, who has time one person to be posting? Because they post fairly regularly. Could be a group of people.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they must be women.
A collective.
A collective of cool doctor women that are just...
God, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's funny. So follow that.
Oh, my God. I'm like looking at... I was just trying to describe to you and I can't help but like want to poke around. Like, oh, I didn't see that one.
they're good memologists. Who knew that was a thing?
Tag us in one if you think it's really funny.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.